Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everyone doing this week?
Perfect. Could not be better.
That's beautiful. I love to hear thriving. It. Perfect and thriving.
It's been raining like all week, and unfortunately my mood is very tied to the like 2 hours after work when I get to go outside and sit in the sun by the pool. And if I don't have that, it really doesn't help with my whole situation.
That's not thriving for you.
It's not
failure
thriving.
To thrive.
Failure to thrive.
Where do you think when I looked up failure to thrive recently as a categorization for babies? It's a medical diagnosis for babies. The impression I got was that the term is still in use, which
I think it is. Yeah.
That shocked me because it so much sounds like, of course we would have said that before we know the things that are causing babies not to thrive. But now they're just like, yeah, we know what some of the things are, but we do just use it as a general term.
Just sometimes they don't thrive, you know? Sometimes there's just a failure to thrive, and it's not a judgment.
I'm like, some of us suffer. It's okay.
That's life on this bitch of an earth. And it is quite a compelling little phrase, failure to thrive. Yeah. I mean, I go to bed many days thinking, today, failure to thrive. There
diagnosis?
Is always tomorrow. We have been failing to thrive quite a bit recently, which is why we came up with a little special summer segment that we're doing at the beginning of our shows. We're going to take turns each sharing one thing that is helping us to thrive.
Hopefully it's going to combat some of the check-ins that we've got from some of you that are like, hey.
Y'all okay? Y'all good? Y'all done here?
The energy you girls were giving off. You okay?
You know what? We actually got some very nice comments from many of you saying that you liked how insane in the membrane we were feeling last week. So we'll hit you with it again. So I'm going first. This week, I'm sharing one thing that's been helping me to thrive. I don't support big business. But
solid start. Yeah. Solid start.
For me.
First, talk us through the ethical problems we might have with your thriving.
There are some huge ethical considerations with what I'm about to say. But for me, what's been helping me to thrive this week is Amazon Freevee. And that is where they put all the shows that I think nobody wanted to pay to stream. So they put them on Amazon Freevee and they show you commercials about every 4 minutes. I mean, it is so many commercials and they are very low quality commercials. But I got into, so I was like, I'm going to rewatch White Collar. So I hopped on Amazon, didn't realize it was showing on Freevee, and I started watching White Collar, insane show. Within an episode, I'm getting commercials for stuff that's like, should I be watching that? Should I be watching Everwood for maybe the first time in the year 2023? Should
Did
I
you
be
never
watching...
watch Everwood? You
Well, I thought that I must have seen some episodes, but so now I'm just today alone, like 4 episodes into Everwood, and I'm boggled. I'm flabbergasted by this television programming. No one on this show can act. The acting is, but they wrote the script. Like, they were like, this is going to be like, I think they must have been, someone in the writer's room definitely said, like, we want to be giving Gilmore Girls. We want to be giving snappy banter. We want to be giving, you know, people are bantering. There's dialogue. Quick, quick, quick. And then they didn't pass that note along to the casting director. And so everybody is just reading these lines totally flatly. Just nothing happening between anybody. I didn't realize. So I had been thinking, I was like, Everwood must be like the OC. Like, that must be the kind of vibe that it is. It's Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
It's fully Seventh
it's
Heaven.
It's a low quality
well, because
CW
the,
show.
The
yeah.
OC was Fox, and that's
yes,
where the
that's
sexy
a real
teens
network.
Were. Yeah. Everwood was WB, where the moral and ethical teens lived.
Well, no, but that is not always true because, like, it's not even giving Vampire Diaries. You know what I mean?
Vampire Diaries with CW.
It's not even giving Gossip Girl.
Vampire
Gossip
Diaries.
Girl was an
Gossip
Those
Girl.
Later
was
generations.
Fox.
So yeah.
Gossip Girl was Fox.
I'm 90% sure.
No,
although somebody.
No.
Someone Google
it. I'm immediately gotta Google CW, bitch.
Well, still, CW was
different than WB.
Yeah,
it is true that I had forgotten that we did have a kind of tonal shift from WB to CW. Because CW, someone got in the room and was like, it has to be sexual. Yeah. It has mm-hmm. to be yeah. so sexual. We're getting 25-year-old actors in here to play the characters, and they want to fuck. Never forget that. But, like Sting and Jericho, we'll get to that later. But on the WB, it starts with Everwood starts with a man that you don't know is just doing a voiceover, being like, the story of Andy Brown, like, begins as so many good stories do in the city of New York.
Oh, no.
He spends the first 3 episodes talking out loud to his dead wife, which I think is kind of normal on shows, like, to just have someone who's, like, clearly going through it, so they're kind of externalizing their grief. But he just does it in front of people. His business is now suffering really? Because at a county fair or a town festival or whatever, he just talked to his dead wife and said goodbye to her in front of everybody, all his patients. He's a doctor. He's a fuckable doctor. Anyway, so I love Amazon Freevee. It also offered me an ad for like Britain's Lost Villages or something. It's just an old woman going to villages and being that like, sounds... village life is so delightful. So I'll be watching that.
That yeah. sounds like it should be a Netflix show.
It's on Freevee. The best network there is.
Well, I'm excited for you to progress in this because when I was a teen, I pretty much refused to watch any supernatural dramas whatsoever. I thought it was like really lame. And so like my little niche entirely was WB stuff. And I was like on the internet looking up like live journal, like fan mix communities to like download like stuff about Bright and Hannah. Like I was like the amount of Matt Nathanson songs that I'm like, this is about Bright and Hannah.
That's a mainstay, a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a very specific time.
I saw him in concert. Did you? When I was in college. Yeah.
There are a lot of Matts in that kind of indie fan mix genre.
Yeah.
I think he might have been Josh's. Touring with, maybe it was a different one. I saw Eric Hutchinson when I was in college too. And I was at the very front and in the middle of a song, he just stopped singing and started laughing. And then he said, I'm looking at the front row in the middle of a song. He goes, I'm looking at the front row. And there are 2 girls here who are having such a good time, just dancing, having a great time. And 1 girl who could not be more over it. That was me.
Oh my God. You were having such an over it time that he had to stop in the middle of the song.
It wasn't his fault. They had spilled a beer on me and I was on crutches because I'd gotten in this car accident in Canada I was a pedestrian. We don't have to get into all that. We've been here for quite a while actually. So, but anyway, it was a big moment and I was just like, I don't know what to tell you, man. And then he just laughed some more and went back to singing.
Well, wow. Unparalleled experience.
Yeah. I mean, I'm usually very fun.
She says defensively.
I do feel a little defensive now, but honestly, I loved the experience. I was like, wow, I have a really mean face. I do not look nice. Okay. For Amazon Freevee. Don't pay Amazon because I'm saying this. I don't know why you would based on what I said, but you know, if you happen to have it anyway, look into it. The best streaming network out there. Are you guys ready to talk about wrestling?
I guess. Like a little bit want to keep talking about like WB dramas.
I know. I already have so much stuff I could say about Everwood, but let's
have you ever watched Felicity?
No.
So you should put that on your list.
Is Felicity the dancing baby or is that Ally
McBeal? No, that's Ally McBeal.
Felicity's the haircut that ruined her.
Ruined Carrie
Russell. Oh yeah,
what did she do to her?
So she cut.
Carrie
she had, like,
Russell is it?
Yeah,
Felicity?
she's
Felicity,
the titular
Carrie Russell
Felicity.
Is the titular character of Felicity.
Wow.
Yeah, so she like she had the long, beautiful curls like you, and then like between one episode and the next, she cut them, and like the
people
fucking
lost it.
Everybody got Carrie. So angry.
Yeah, they're furious.
But Carrie Russell isn't a natural curly girl, is she?
I think so.
I'd
be shocked.
It
if that
looks
was a
like
perm.
She is. Yeah.
I just haven't seen her with curls. I mean, look at her now. Look at the hair of this woman. But when I look at Felicity, I see what you're saying. Certainly.
It doesn't look like fake curls, right?
They do look real, but you know, Sarah Jessica Parker, well, no, we can't get into all that. They look very real in this picture, but it is strange to me that now I guess she's just straightening it, but that's so crazy.
I know, but I read a thing lately, actually, that, like, Hollywood used to let people have natural curls, but it, like, fucks with the continuity because, like, you can't control what your curls are going to look like one day to the next. So they just, like, they, even if they were having someone have curly hair, they would straighten it and then, like, curl it, even if it was naturally.
Yeah. The Sarah Jessica Parker thing was that, like, if you, she had this quote where she was talking about how at one point, they had just done so much stuff to her hair for Sex and the City that suddenly the hair got overstressed and it just started breaking off. She was like, and then that's what happened all of a sudden.
That's what happened to Britney Spears. Her hair got so fucked up by the bleach that then she demanded to shave it. And then the internet acted like she was like out of her mind. But like, it was literally just because like her hair was falling apart. It was falling out.
And because she was stressed, you know, I think women have a right and men.
Yeah.
Have a right well, to men shave get treated all the like hair they have off a right. your head because you're stressed out. Like you can get.
I know, and because you're like you going through a horrible divorce. Like the if you're going through a divorce, you can't even around. Shave your head. I know.
Like you've never wanted to go at somebody with an umbrella. Jesus Christ.
Please, we support Reddit. We support the Writers Guild, and we support Britney.
Yeah, when men throw something at paparazzi, they're celebrated.
People think it's cool.
Britney gets put in a 15-year conservatorship.
It's not okay. Anyway, so that's why Allie's happy.
He's screaming, put CM Punk in a conservatorship. Okay, we got to get going on the wrestling. Oh, I'm not looking forward to what I'm about to find in the schedule. Okay, Orange Cassidy and Shibata had a tag team match against Zack Sabre Jr. and Danny Garcia on Dynamite. And they lost because Orange Cassidy accidentally punched Shibata while, like, he was grappling with Danny. And then Shibata got pinned by Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia, little baby boy, pinned Shibata. So I don't really understand what happened next, to be honest. But for some reason, this caused a four-way to be booked for Forbidden Door. So the four of them are all going to fight for the belt. Is that right?
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea why that was the natural thing that happened in that moment. But that might be on me. So Shibata Garcia and Zack Sabre Jr. were all, like, holding the belt, and OC got back in the ring and grabbed it, but Shibata was still holding on to it. They had a little stare down about it, and then OC yanked the belt away from him and stomped off in a fit of exhausted peak. He looked crazy.
Big man.
He needed a nap.
He loves that belt now.
I know. Well, you get used to it. It's like your favorite toy, you know? Mm-hmm. You get used to your favorite toy. you guys want to talk about what Danny Garcia was up to in this match?
He was having the time of his goddamn life. I cannot believe he split his pants.
That was crazy.
Amazing. Amazing. Right?
The front of the crash, too. Like, I don't even know how he managed to split it there.
For what? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe he did a split or something. But maybe it was from his excited gyrating in OC's face. Could that
you know when it? you start hip thrusting that intensely, anything can happen.
And those pants might not be very well made, you know, like
probably not. Yeah,
probably just kind of stitched on at the last moment. So he's just having so much fun.
He's having the time of his life
dancing, and I love watching him do his little dances.
I literally love so much thinking about how, like, he and Yuta came into the company at the same time, and Yuta was a goofy little smiley boy, and Yuta was Danny was like an angry little mean boy, and then they switched them and they put Yuta with the angry pit bulls, and they put Danny with the goofs. And both of them learned. They both
grow so much. They both grow so much. They're not the freshman class anymore. They're juniors.
They are juniors now. They're not even sophomores. God. They're juniors now.
They're juniors.
Wow. They get it sold.
Zack Sabre Jr. looked so funny in this. Everything about him, I said, was just screaming like midlife crisis. Like he's like... It's like he hasn't seen OC in a while. They used to fight together on the indies. And now he shows back up, and they're both old men. They're old men. Sorry. Sorry, Orange Cassidy. Love you so much, BB. They're both old men. But Zack Sabre Jr. is like, not me. I'm young. I'm platinum blonde. I'm platinum blonde, and I'm younger than ever.
It is like
Stelligan has got a groove back.
Yeah, he's like, look, I'm like on a freshman class hall. Like, we all dyed our hair together. That's the only reason anyone would do this.
He said, you can recapture your youth. And it's so funny because I'm like, OC also is like, I'm young too, but it's a little less in your face. I had a great time during the match. What do you guys think is going to happen at Forbidden Door?
I literally don't know. My friend Nico asked me today. They were like, do you think that OC is going to lose the belt? And I would have said yes, but like, I just don't know. Like, Shibata is so careful about like, when and who he wrestles that I don't really see him having a belt where he has to wrestle a lot, but I don't really know. I don't really know what Zack Sabre Jr.'s like deal is within New Japan.
I was talking to Jeff yesterday and he thinks that Zack Sabre Jr. is going to win it. Cause Zack has the like American belt. So he's working in the States with the New Japan American belt or whatever that is. So he thinks Zack Sabre Jr. might get the double belt and then they let that one travel for a while, which I would be kind of into. Although the fact that OC, that they lost this match made me feel like, I don't know if they're going to lose at Forbidden Door then, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's interesting to think about like the implications for AEW programming and for OC if he loses the, I mean, for OC it's regardless, it's like, what are they going to do with him next, or what does he want to do next? But for AEW programming, it's like, we're always saying we have too many belts, but MJF isn't really defending his belt that much, so like OC has been doing the kind of the fill-in work of like, people, I guess other people like seeing belt matches, so he's been the boy doing the belt matches. If they lose that, I'm not even saying it's a loss. I'm just like, it's interesting to think, like, how does the landscape of Dynamite slash Collision slash Rampage change?
I mean, it is like, what are they going to open Dynamites with? Like, other matches?
Non-OC matches? I guess non-belt matches, maybe?
Crazy. Or maybe the trio's belt once in a while would get a defense or...
That doesn't seem very likely to me.
I have
repeatedly forgotten that House of Black go to this company. Have you seen them recently?
No, because I won't be watching Collision. So,
well, they weren't on Collision, were they? I mean,
Buddy was.
Oh, Buddy, right? I forgot that Buddy and Andrade had their match for Boys that the boys were so excited about and loved. I'm over it. I fucking had it. Okay. Well, we don't know. Do you guys want to move on? You guys want to move on?
Y'all done here?
Now that I'm so furious, let's get out of here.
I'm just mad. Okay. But
the fact that OC got to do some comedy dancing in response to Danny Garcia's comedy dancing, I like
that.
He did.
Before he got in his bad mood, he got a little comedy. He went into Brian Cage's mouth, but then he came out the other side of Brian Cage's head.
That's right. This was a match for girls.
It was a match for girls. Yeah. It was a match for enjoyers. Like, that's happy, right. Happy enjoyers.
People here to have a good time. Yeah.
People here to have a good time.
Have you guys considered that more important than having a good time is doing big money business? It's so important.
All I want is for
business.
For Tony Khan to get richer. That's all I want in my life.
Billionaires must have cash in his pockets. More. Tony is in the dark triad. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I saw someone say billionaires are different from businessmen, like in complimentary towards Tony Khan. And I was like, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That just means you have money, but you don't deserve it.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. You don't know how to run a business is what a billionaire is different from a businessman.
Oh, God in heaven. What was happening here? So why did I start saying the things I said? Are we done here?
We said we were enjoying ourselves, unlike men who want Tony Khan to make more money, and then we kind of went down that rabbit hole. Yeah.
Do you know how many times a day, I really am, I'm worried about how I'm coming off here, how many times a day I just kind of like tune back in and I'm like, why am I so upset? And I have to logically work back through all the things that happened to me in the last 10 minutes. And often I'll think like, stop doing this because you could just not be upset. Like, you can feel it slipping away because you don't know what caused it. But then I get to the thing that made me mad instantly mad again. You guys want to talk
about... You're thriving.
Yeah, I definitely am. Okay, you want to talk about the Elite?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Elite appeared only in pre-tapes on this week's Dynamite. Oh, no. You did it again. Okay, so we'll talk about how they set up their Forbidden Door matches. So first, BCC cut a promo. I don't remember a lot of the content of this, but they basically announced that they're going to have a 5-on-5 match with the Elite at Forbidden Door. So fighting for BCC is going to be Mox, Yuta, Claudio Takeshita, and Shota, who's Mox's son from New Japan. Yeah. So that's great. They get to fight with both his boys. That's nice.
The important part of that promo was just that Mox called Takeshita, what did he say, tall, dark, and sexy?
Yeah. I forgot, yeah.
Takeshita made an interesting face. I loved it.
So then I immediately was doing this comically laborious math to be like, how many men do the Elite have? Like, who do they need? But we got another promo from the Elite where they revealed that, so it's Hung Bucks, and then they revealed that Eddie Kingston is going to be fighting with them, and we can talk about their little back and forth about that. And that Eddie said he was going to choose and reveal the fifth man. He said, that's my choice. So at the end of the show, Dynamite, he came out and announced... He announced that he went back into, he's like, it's not that I love the Bucks and Kenny so much. Although he did call them cute, which is so sweet and perfect.
People started booing, and he was like, ah, come on, they're cute. You gotta like them. And I was like,
basically, he made it the camera then. Amazing. That was just like, what you gonna do? Like, no one's doing it like Eddie Kingston. And then he said that they're better than Claudio, and that he won't be fighting with Claudio anymore. So Mox came out very mad. They had, this was like the sexiest back and forth that I've seen on my television in 100,000 years.
Yeah.
Palpable.
It's crazy.
Energy.
They were so close. They were just yelling into each other's mouths.
Yelling,
yeah.
I love you into each other's mouths. Yeah. That's what wrestling is about.
That's the most important. I want to read what our friend Emily Ann said about this, which I think was incredibly important and has been ping-ponging around in my head. Their ability to give off angrily barreling towards what they both secretly think might be a second acrimonious divorce when they know for a fact that neither of them fell out of love the first time around and secretly they're afraid they won't this time either is truly unparalleled. Like, who is doing it like them?
No one. Because it is true that it's like the last time they were divorced, I think that they did think that they didn't love each other anymore.
Yeah.
But now if they get divorced... They know that they still love each other, but it's going to be like, but we couldn't make it work.
That's the thing that kills me is that like, just that moment of being like, the love is there. They just can't, like, they can't get it on track.
When Eddie Kingston is saying, and I quote, you drew that line, not me. I love you. You're my brother. You decided to do that, not me. And then John Moxley is just shaking his head under his breath saying every time. And Eddie says, every time what? Every time what, John? Say it.
When
it's
another
the most married
when
fight
a man
ever.
Says say it to another man, that's what I like.
It honestly, remember? There was more chemistry between these men than in 90% of movies released by major studios.
So true. So
they're not doing chemistry testing anymore.
No.
But Mox and Eddie?
If they got tested for their chemistry, they'd break the test.
Yeah. Fuck. Remember when Eddie told Mox that Mox was the reason that Eddie's mother doesn't have grandchildren? That was a real thing that a real man said to another man in front of me on television.
They're so sexy.
It's crazy how sexy they were. As soon as Eddie came back and he and Mox started doing this stuff, it was just like, oh my God, this is what I've been missing.
I don't know if we even want to get into what Manolo said. I'm not sure it's worth unpacking. But it is sickening to me that there are people out there who do not understand the appeal of Eddie Kingston.
I actually didn't know that those kind of people existed.
I didn't
existed.
Either, actually.
Like,
yeah.
I read a lot of reviews, and like, there's people that are like, about Orange Cassidy, people are always like, he's not for me, but I understand that he's over. Or, you know, like, people say that about the Elite, too. It's, like, fine. But, like, to say, I don't understand why Eddie Kingston is over, I don't understand why people like Eddie. This man said Eddie butts into business that doesn't involve him. Yeah, he does.
Because complimentary. That has no control over his feelings.
Sad, it's like, boy.
He's not complimentary.
It's like, but it's like, that's not, it, the parts of it are right. Right?
No.
But it's like, that sad boy isn't right. Like, it's
sad
like,
boy isn't right. No, angry boy. No. But no, the idea that he has no control over his feelings, that's what makes him great. Yes. Is that like, yeah, he's a live wire and he could do anything. Yes.
But that like, it's like that he has, like, if you look at Eddie Kingston and like the way he acts, you're like, Eddie Kingston has his own code of morals and ethics.
Yeah,
that he will never stray from. And that is the sexiest thing that you can see in a character, is that someone is just like, it's not like my way of being may not align with like what society thinks is right, but I believe in it and I will never stray from it. And I will never be anything other than myself. And I will always try to keep my own code. Come on.
And he's a great babyface too, because he does have that strong moral code, but he gets in his own way and he's in his head and he loses it, which is very relatable.
What's the thing that Sarah Shockey always says about him? That you can't always support his actions, but morally he's always right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he will, it's like, he'll do something that's not right, but it's because like the feeling inside him is right. You know?
It was so funny that he did try to turn heel and he beat up Ortiz, and the entire crowd was like, well, I guess we didn't know that Ortiz had bad vibes. That's not, I mean, it's we just learned something new here.
We support Eddie Kingston. I know. And just honestly, from an artistic standpoint, the fact that Eddie came back, joined up with the Young Bucks, who he'd been fighting with, and immediately was like, I don't like you guys, you annoyed me. And Matt's like, yeah, you stole my shoes. And they just like lay the groundwork.
Stole
of, like,
my Air Dior's.
Here's where we were. I don't like you guys, but I hate Claudio more, so this is what we're doing. It was like so clear.
It was a masterclass.
No one else was doing it. It was
It's
perfect.
A masterclass of everything we've been saying, because what did they have, 15 seconds?
It was so like, short. They, so efficient.
They bothered to just be like, hey, this is, you know, like, this is the through line. This is how you, this is how we get from point A to point B. Come like, with us. And I say, I'm happy to.
I know. We're always sitting here being like, why did those guys run out? I guess because they both hate whoever. And it's like, yeah, just take 15 seconds 15 to say seconds. That you hate them. And that's why.
And the Bucks consistently do that. Every time there's a new like development in any of their stories, there's always a 15 second promo where they just like are like, hey, this is what you missed on
Glee.
BTED.
Yeah. On BT Glee. I mean, this was the other thing that, sorry to keep Manola in the mix here, but this is the other thing he said that was so crazy to me, where he said, like, Kingston made the Elite look bad by trashing them to their faces, and they did nothing about it. The Elite stood there like schmucks. And I'm like, this is literally toxic masculinity. The idea that because somebody says their true feelings to your face, you should immediately be insulted and, like, start a fight because their feelings are, I don't like you. It's like, it is correct for all of these characters that they're like, we do what it takes to get, like, when we have a goal, we are willing to work with people that we don't like to get it done. It was totally in character for Eddie to be like, I'm going to come right out and say it. And for them to be like, that's fine. You do not need to like us. You need to fight on our team.
And the also idea, with Eddie's personality, it's like, of course he doesn't like you. He doesn't like anybody. Like, you can't like anybody. Be offended
doesn't
by it.
You can't
it.
Take like, it personally. Sure. No, but like the idea that the Elite should be offended is actually a huge misreading of their characters. Because it's like one of those things where it's like, if Eddie said that to Dante Martin, you could see Dante being like, feeling, I am crushed.
I'm crying.
But like, do you think that that's the first time someone said to Matt Jackson, I don't like you? That day? He's fine. He doesn't need. He doesn't need to hear lies.
No, and it's like, you know, he also was just like basically seemed to be saying that this storyline is like too complicated. It's bringing in too many disparate elements. Which again, it's like that is why it's a good storyline. It's not a straightforward line of dominoes. Which at a certain point earlier this year, I had a kind of feeling of like I was like I don't know what's happening because I just kind of feel like it's too clear to me the things that need to happen in this storyline. It's dominoes everywhere, and you never know what the domino that's going to go down is, because there are constantly things happening that you're like, oh shit, this is going to press that person's buttons in a way that I didn't see coming, that's going to cause unexpected like splinterings of behaviors. It's so smart and good and so fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. And I feel like it was honestly like good world building where it's like, it used to more feel like the company had like a lot of interlocking storylines and everybody kind of has their own thing going on. And I feel like Eddie and everybody involved in this like did a good job of being like, here's who I like, here's who I don't like, here are like my motivations. Like I'm coming in and out of like other people's deals and what they're dealing with. And it's like, so he's like, he hates Claudio, but Mox is with Claudio. So now he and Mox are having problems, you know, like it just makes everything feel so much like richer and more built out as like a whole universe.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly like one thing that I was really struggling with in a lot of feuds earlier this year and probably would be now if I were paying more attention to some of them is like if two factions start feuding, sometimes it's just so obvious, like, these are the matches that we're going to get, and we're going to get them over and over again until this feud is done. The more, like, people that you rope in, like, saying, like, well, they have this relationship with these people and this relationship with these people, and those are conflicting relationships, and they're not always going to know exactly what they're going to do, you get more and more possibilities for, like, these are the matches that we could get. And they would be very different matches depending on what people end up doing and feeling. Like, it is a rich, as you said, it's rich. It's a rich world where you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but there are so many possibilities as opposed to, like, we're going to have every iteration of these three people fighting these three people until eventually someone wins, like the Outcasts feud.
Right. It would have been so easy for this to be a rehash of JAS versus BCC. And it's not like it's a different feud.
Yeah. And this too is like, if any of these people, you know, they might've fought 2 years ago, but it's like, they're in a different emotional place with different dynamics between people. So you can have the same match, but it's a very different match because they're place is different. Yeah.
Like if Mox and Eddie had a singles match now, that it'd is going to be so incredibly different to the match that they had, you know.
And it would build on all that. So it makes you feel like it was worth watching all the stuff because it's like actually paying off or at least like contributing to who the characters are now.
Right.
But alternatively, you know, we could just watch CM Punk have a match with no story attached. Doesn't that sound pretty good to you, though?
You know what else struck me about the Elite is, like, in their little promos, all they talked about were their upcoming kayfabe feud stuff.
It's interesting.
Unlike some people who kind of didn't set up the actual matches they were having and just kind of talked about personal grudges the whole time.
No, they had just kind of been sitting at home mulling over their personal grudges.
And getting mad on the internet for, like, 9 months straight. Gross. Yeah.
I was losing it because one of our listeners, Awfully Waffly, on Twitter has started a podcast with her friend.
We're very excited about it.
We're very excited. I listened to the first.
To our fellow podcasters.
Yeah. It's called Waffly Bollocks with an X at the end of it. It's very British. my point in bringing this up is that I was listening to one part of it where they were speculating about Collision, and they were like, do you think that Punk will lose his first match? And then they cackled because it was the funniest possible thing that anybody could say. But like, I literally had to pause it and think about it because like, it would have made so much sense for him to lose.
Totally.
Like it, like it would have done a lot for his like public image to be like, cause you know, he's gotten so much shit for like stepping on young people. Why did I just sound 90 fucking years old?
No, I liked it.
Young people. But like, it would have made sense in real, like the real life stuff. But it also like in kayfabe would have set up some interesting stuff for like Punk and FTR to have lost. And like Jay White and his in Animal to win and like set up more interesting things. And like the fact that they couldn't do that is crazy.
I know.
It's totally insane.
Well, it's like it didn't build up like Juice and Jay like at all. It was just like they might as well not have been there.
Well, part of it, I do think that Jay White was like phoning it in. He was like, I'm going to do my time in the CM Punk mines, but then you got to get me out of here.
You know, sometimes it is that classic move of you're like, should I just get it out of the way? If I get it out of the way now, is that maybe the best thing? Then it will be hanging over my head. Yeah. It has been driving me. We're kind of cruising into our next topic, and that's fine. But, like, it has been driving me literally insane to watch the bootlicking men of the IWC be like, the energy's just different when Punk gets in the mix. Like, he changes the game. And it's like, changes the game by not making entertaining TV? But it changes the game by just being a fucking self-obsessed prick who only wants to air? Like, it's like, literally, he's like, this is just a place for me to air my grievances. I don't want to, I don't want to make any art. I don't want to make interesting stories for you. I don't want you to ever talk about, like, you know, my character, like what my character might or might not do. Like, I'm just going to wrestle bad matches and complain like a fucking prick on TV. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that
you all have bad taste. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, you've got bad taste.
Yeah. Well, even when he showed up on Dynamite, which, like, thank God it wasn't longer than it was, which I feared it would be, but it's like, there was still like 2 or 3 minutes of just like the crowd cheering and him like walking around basking in it. And it's like, is this really entertaining for you people? Like, just watching someone like get their ego stroked?
People really need, Chicago needs to get,
I'm sorry, but
itself.
I'm in a really bad mood with Chicago. Maybe the worst city in America. So sorry to the listeners from Chicago, but I mean, you got to admit, It was a real repulsive crowd, was it not?
Yeah. It really was.
A real nasty little crowd.
Cornette shirts and signs, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. Chicago sucks.
And apparently the crowd was being like real gross about Sky Blue too, which is not surprising.
No, but I will say, in fairness, that doesn't surprise me. At any wrestling show, I certainly have.
No, that's true.
I've been at shows I've talked about on the podcast where I was sitting behind men who are basically just screaming like, "Give me a beach," to the female wrestlers. So that's gross.
It's a great subculture, really.
We should be screaming, give each other beaches. No one should be screaming at a wrestling show for anyone to do anything beach related. Don't scream.
That's something you say in the privacy of your own podcast.
Yeah.
We've never said give a beach.
No, we've never said that.
We say kiss because maybe
we keep it PG here on this podcast.
I know. I'm like, have I gone too far now? I shouldn't have said it, but it was a funny joke.
It was a funny joke.
Don't ever scream about beaches or kissing at a wrestling. Don't scream.
No. Leave them alone. They're golf clap. Out there. Yeah, they're doing a job.
Don't harass people at work.
That's right.
So true. If they can't run, you shouldn't be screaming.
Scream inside your heart, all right?
Marjorie, can you start over?
Yeah, let's back to the intro.
Should we move on? Do you have anything else you want to say? Collision happened. We're not watching Collision. I don't think we'll be talking about Collision. Darby said something about like, you'll find out on Collision this week, and it was like, I won't.
I won't
find out on Twitter.
I can't remember what it was he said, but I was just like, I guess
it was who the third is going to be in Suzuki Guns versus Sting, Darby, and like, and Darby did look like such a little imp because he put something down. It was like a belt or something. I don't know what he was touching, but he just said, you'll find out on Collision.
He's really gotten a very like funny little big grin energy to him.
I think he might be taking not like acting lessons, but like some kind, maybe I just don't know what kind of lessons you could take, but it's like an interpretive dance. Like, I don't know what he's doing. I think he's taking some kind of lesson and he's learning stuff because I don't know what.
I'd love to hear that Darby Allin was doing improv.
That'd be tremendous.
You'll find out on Collision.
Okay. Punk's gonna be on Forbidden Door though, which sucks. I hope it's early and can.
I think people think it will be. I don't understand any of. Jesus, one of you want to say the Kenta thing? That was pretty funny.
Okay, I don't know that. I don't know how much of this was real and how much of this was speculation, but I heard that Kenta was set up to be, like, they were planning on Kenta to be his opponent. And Punk was like, I will only wrestle Kenta if he signs something saying that he won't hit me that hard, which is so fucking funny. Like, if it's not true, it doesn't matter. I've onboarded it because it's funny.
What is this man's whole thing? The fact that it's like, we had that ESPN interview come out where he was like, and it's not my fault. It's like Hangman hit me really hard and he's not a trustworthy coworker because he literally shot on me and beat me up in the match. And then he goes on TV and is like, the Elite are soft. The Elite are so soft. It's just like,
it was crazy.
I'm not saying he didn't shoot on you, but like B, like, I just don't think you can have it both ways. Like, it's I don't think people should be beating each other up, but
I think your little girl brain is not understanding. When you get hit in the ring, it's bad. Yeah. But if you get hit in backstage, it's fine.
Get over it.
It's good even. Maybe.
It's good.
It's just what men do. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Hard. It is true that I just have a teeny tiny little pebble of a girl brain. So I just don't always understand almost anything. So I didn't understand that in the wrestling ring, doing wrestling moves is bad. Yeah. But that backstage, when you use your fists instead of your words, that is good. Mm-hmm.
That is good. Yeah.
Now I know. Fine.
You know he was like out on Twitter and wherever else, like reading the whole internet wrestling community dunking on him for being afraid of Hangman, like the most gentle little golden doodle anyone's ever seen. And then he was like, you guys are the soft ones. I'm going to say it on TV. And that makes it true.
Also, Kenta is like, I have not actually watched him wrestle, and I'll be the first to say I don't know that much about him. But every single tweet that I get linked to cracks me up. The fact that Kenta's like, if you want me to wrestle CM Punk, you are going to pay me so much money. And then when he heard that like lawyer thing, he was like, I will never wrestle CM Punk. Never in my life. Why would you?
I mean, that's one of the crazy, not to get so into this subject, but that it's like, it's been so crazy making to watch people respond to like all of this situation and the Elite and the Punk stuff by being like, it's so messed up that it's like based on what Punk is saying that like the Elite are just lawyered up and won't talk to him. And it's like, yeah, if I knew that a man was extremely litigious and insane, I would lawyer up first too. Like, I just like, I understand that people
especially
just
if
like
punch me first.
Especially punch me. Yeah. But it's just like, I understand that people have like good memories of Punk and that he was important to them as a performer. But like, I just, sometimes I'm like, can you just listen to what you're saying? Like, you sound like a really bad person right now. Like, I don't think I sound like a great person all the time, but like, listen to what you are saying. Like, it's okay to just be like, I like this man, but he's been really badly behaved. But they're just like, no, it's good behavior, actually. He's actually been really, he's always been right, and everyone else is wrong.
He's bringing in big money, so that's pretty much moral superiority, yeah.
It's so true. Money talks. Well, anyway, but we're just doing fine. We're just doing okay in our minds.
I felt great the whole day Wednesday knowing that he was going to be on the show. It wasn't a problem for me.
It's really hard to just feel at this stage like it's like I'm so angry and sad about it a lot of the time that I'm like, is it healthy for me to be watching wrestling right now?
I know.
But
no, I know. I mean, I'm really struggling with that, like genuinely struggling, because I have built such like a good structure around it. Like I go over to my friend Sarah's house. We catch up about our lives for a couple hours and then we sit down. I watch it with you guys in the group chat. We have like a ton of fun. And then we get up and we do this podcast and I love being on the Zoom with you guys. And then I love on Sundays getting to hear from our listeners and getting the, you know, people responding and saying, girls, what drugs were you on? like
honestly, we're always getting encouraged, honestly. That's what feels good.
And so like, it's really nice to have this structure, but like if none of that existed, I would have quit 9 months ago.
Yeah.
I would have quit Labor Day weekend. I would have never, I would have maybe watched a couple Young Bucks matches. Maybe. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. 100%. Yep. Would not be continuing.
It's rough. Because it's you know, stuff happens every week on wrestling that is fun to watch. I'm not saying that, like, you know, it's like weeks and weeks going by.
We make our fun, of course.
We're in Brian's mouth. So, yeah, we're having fun.
Yeah, we're making our fun.
But it does just feel really bad. Like, and it's like, not that I ever felt that much like I'm a member of the wrestling community. I've always kind of been like, the wrestling community is a little messed up. But there are people, like many people that we've encountered there that we like. But it's very alienating feeling to just be like, this is gross. Like, you're all being really gross and that sucks.
I know.
Yeah. And it is like, it's just like the Punk stuff. It's really whatever. It's just like having to watch like a powerful white man once again get no consequences for his behavior is like unfortunately fairly triggering and it makes everything less fun.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's so the Punk stuff. Like, but don't you sort of feel like, I don't know, this is going to sound like kind of crazy, but like the Punk stuff in a vacuum isn't even that much because I sort of don't have that much expectation for celebrity men where I'm like, yeah, they're all fucking idiots. But it's like the relentlessness of all of his fans and the Twitter discourse and the back and forth is really, really what like is like grinding. Like I could deal with CM Punk. I have, you know, like whatever. Well, villains are villains, but
it's all the structure around him. It's like Tony Khan enabling him. It's the Twitter fans. It's like Punk himself. Like whatever. I'm not disappointed in it. It's like everything stopping him from failing, basically.
But the fan response is like a huge part of it because I don't know. Like it's like. Whatever, I understand, but you don't have to like pathologize everything that upsets you, but like it is kind of pathologizable, not a word, that it's just like we've said before that we're like, when you really like the Bucks and Kenny, like the way that people talk to you about it does feel really gendered, and it does feel like they're like, that is fake wrestling for girls Punk does real wrestling for guys and that doesn't feel good. Like it feels bad to be like, we really value this thing that the elite do. Like they do storytelling and we really love that. And it makes us love watching them fight. Like we weren't like born to watch fights. You know what I mean? Like this is exciting and new for us. We're like, wow, it shocks us when we watch a fight that is so interesting because we care about the characters. And then it's just like, especially when the Punk discourse gets going, everybody is online just being like, the elite do like weak pussy shit for girls and like stories are for girls and fighting is for boys and wrestling should only be fighting all the time. It should be punch and they punch like real men. She's like, okay, well that fucking sucks. Thanks. Yeah. That blows chunks.
What did someone call it? Like collisions, like toxic masculinity, the show or something. It's like,
That's so crazy that they got that Elton John Saturday.
Oh,
night.
I know. That's wild. That's like the most. I mean, it's like a great song, but it doesn't fit the show at all.
It's crazy. Okay, you want to take just 2 minutes, and we can talk about either Adam Cole and MJF or Chris Jericho and Sting.
Chris Jericho and Sting.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
So all you need to know here is that Jericho, Sammy, and Suzuki, team name of Les Suzuki Guns, fought AR Fox, Darius Martin, and Action Andretti on Dynamite. And that afterwards, Jericho called Sting a whore. He said, you're not a Harlequin, Sting. That must be a reference I don't get. You're a whore. And then he called Darby his morose mutant son. So Sting came out, and Jericho, and so he challenged Jericho challenged Sting, Darby, and a third man of their choice to a trios fight. So Sting and Darby came out, and Sting, the crux of what he said was basically like, I loved our time in the ring together last week, Chris, but it was too brief. I need it again. It's like, of course we must fight because I'm so sexually aroused. And then they just did kissing pose, and Darby was just kind of like leaping around like a little gremlin. Like, ooh.
I did not expect Chris Jericho and Sting to have the sexual chemistry that they did. Really came out of nowhere.
They are showing some of the younger men up. Like, it's like, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Never been in the ring together. Apparently, it's just been pent up for the past 30 years or whatever.
It's like you've been desperate to get in the ring together. Yeah. I guess.
Clearly.
Well, that was Sting's vibe was like, I always knew it would be like this. And Jericho was like, I didn't, but I'm catching up.
Just the fact that he was basically like, one night was not enough. I need you back in my bed. I love adult lovers. Jericho and Sting. Chemistry testing. No, you're not. I know that Tony Khan isn't doing it, but these men are testing themselves, and they're winning. A+.
Chemistry rankings for the week. Mox and Eddie, Sting, and Jericho. Which would you put on top?
I think Mox and Eddie are always going to come out on top because of that history, but Sting and Jericho, never having been in the ring together,
they gave them a run for their money.
Yeah. They are way up there.
Could not have predicted it.
Especially because they're bringing just a deranged little energy.
Let me pitch something to you guys.
Yeah, please.
It's a sitcom. Jericho and Sting have fallen in love, and they decide to merge their households.
Brady
Bunch
kind of deal.
Sting and Darby move in with Sammy and Chris Jericho, and Sammy and Darby have to share a bedroom, but they bicker. They put like a tape down the middle of the room, and Sammy's like, this is my half of the room, and you have to stay in your half of the room. That was my pitch.
I think you kind of described the classic film Step Brothers, which I can easily. Should we make a little fan cam of Darby and Sammy, but with Step Brothers dialogue over it?
Oh my yes. god!
Put it on the TikTok.
Put it on TikTok
about the drum. About the drum kit. Okay, I'm gonna. I'll get into that later. Love it. Thank you. And you know what? Chris Jericho, always reinventing himself. He says, I heard that what the girls want is kissing pose. I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have said, no, you can't, but...
He'll put on 3-inch pink sparkly heels, and he will do kissing pose. Yeah, not a problem.
Icon. Ally.
It's June, baby.
It's June, baby. This one's for the girls and the gays. Okay. The girls, the gays, and the theys. Okay. We're going to play a game. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Producer Marjorie, are you also ready before I describe the game?
I'm ready.
Perfect. So we last week on our great normal podcast that we did last week talked about some of the categories that we use to describe the men that we see on our screen every week, and the women, but the men much more often. And we put our heads together and we came up with 5 categories. Producer Marjorie is going to give us random names, just one at a time, and we are going to discuss Socratically together which category the man belongs in. So the categories that we came up with, and I think we'll kind of dig into what they mean as we discuss. We have baby girl. We have pajama boy. We have fuckable old man. We have little rat boy. And we have, and this one's not good. Regular guy.
That's a guy. That's when you see a guy and you say, oh, that's a guy.
Yeah. Sometimes it's when you see a guy and you say, oh, that's a guy.
That's kind of a regular guy.
It's kind of a regular guy, huh?
It's kind of a standard issue.
The inspiration of this game comes from Tumblr user More Graceful, who sent us an ask about sorting men, and just as we were discussing what we were going to talk about tonight.
Yes, thank you so much for the beautiful. For the inspiration, which we badly needed, because we need a game.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're bringing Pajama Boy into multiple episodes.
That's
so happy.
And that's because we're creating a rich narrative. Pajama Boy could come back again 9 months from now.
We're building a world on this podcast, a rich, rich world.
A language soil. That soon no one will understand except for our listeners. It would be dense.
You'll like it's it here.
Dense, yeah. You'll like it here. Producer, I am just starting to say, like, oh yeah, we're in Brian Cage's mouth, and that's where we want to be. And
but it's gotten so normal feeling that it's like, surely everyone knows what that means when you're in Brian Cage's mouth.
When you someone, fly in there?
Yeah. Someone messaged us and was like, I'm really on the Hindenburg this week. And I was like, I know, that's right.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And we have been on the Hindenburg.
We're on the Hindenburg, but we keep piloting it into Brian Cage's mouth, so we'll be okay.
It feels safe up there. It's scary, but it's safe, you know?
When he opens wide.
When he opens wide. You know what? We can't get into it right now, but I'll talk to you guys about it later. Okay, Producer Marjorie, are you ready to give us the first name?
First up, we have Nick Jackson.
Wow. Oh, my God. This is so exciting. What if I right now was just like regular guy? I would never.
I think I'm going to go with Little Rat Boy. Don't you feel a little bit like he's a little rat boy?
Or fuckable old man.
Yeah, I was going to say fuckable old man.
I mean, it's like...
I don't hate that. But there's something rattish.
He's more of a monkey than a rat to me.
We didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it, but the rack that he was sporting this week, un-fucking believable.
Titty.
Unbelievable. They looked firm. They looked juicy.
He was on that. I mean, I know that they were, like, for Nick Jackson, they were big, but also it's just like real cover of Itty Bitty Titty Committee energy, where it's just like, yeah, and you're rocking them. But they were looking perky. I mean, just beautiful. And they were out. I mean, they were under a shirt, but out.
They were out. And he was smuggling Tic Tacs, too. Meanwhile, Matt was in a hoodie. What are you doing here?
Do you guys get that ad on Twitter all the time for like the bra made especially for small boobs?
No.
I get it constantly. I don't know. It is not my demographic. But anyway, Nick Jackson could wear that bra.
I think Little Rat Boy, but I don't hate fuckable old man.
No, I'll give him Little Rat Boy. I give him a little rat boy, but it's kind of like little baby girl rat boy a little bit, you know. Okay, he's just Nick Jackson to us, you know. Should we take another name?
Yeah.
Next up, Ruby Soho.
Oh, little rat boy. That's a little rat boy. Absolutely. That's a little rat boy.
Yeah, there's sure. not. It's not even a discussion. Full little rat boy. Yeah.
That's a little rat boy.
Unanimous. All right, Marjorie.
You want your next name?
Okay, we have another. Unfortunately, when we are all in agreement, we have nothing else.
Nothing to say. Yeah.
Like, come on.
It's clear. Everyone understands that. Yeah.
Next up, Chuck Taylor.
Wow, this is a big game.
Ultimate baby girl.
He is a baby girl.
He's a baby girl. But he's also a pajama boy in his little tracksuits constantly.
And if we gave him these options, he would choose fuckable old man for himself.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's not.
No.
He's a baby girl.
He's a baby girl. He's our sweetie baby. Like, baby girl is like, you kind of sometimes in your mind imagine that the baby girl is the size of Thumbelina and you're just holding him in your hands and you just want to, like, you want to put a little kiss on his head, but he's so small, so it might not be safe, so you don't do it, but you just look at him. My little baby girl.
It's the way that Chuck Taylor holds his tiny dog, too. Yes. So precious.
Chuck Taylor is to us as Walter is to Chuck Taylor.
That's right. Yeah, we'd wear a Hawaiian shirt with his face all over it.
Oh, absolutely. And easily. I believe our friend just found a service that would make one for us. Yeah, so. Okay, I'm overheated. We better take another name.
Jade Cargill.
Ooh. Whoa.
Wow. I'm so sorry to say this to Jade.
I know.
I really apologize. I think that's a guy.
She regular is a regular guy. Yeah.
Regular guy, yeah.
She's just not in any of the other categories.
She's
not
a baby girl. She's got to show me a vulnerability. She's got to show me something. She's given me nothing to grab onto.
That's such a good point that, like, if we had some more moments of vulnerability, we could do Little Rat Boy.
Mm-hmm.
But she's never given us a single one.
No.
We need it.
Because
Ruby has had her moments of just being like, it's like she's mad because she feels like we understand where she's coming from. Right. That's why she can be a little rap.
Jade doesn't even get mad. Yeah.
Yeah. Was she? Mm. Yeah. So.
But she gets like powerful mad. You know what I mean? She gets mad like a hurricane gets mad, which is not really that.
I wouldn't rule out that there's another category that we could put her in. And maybe the listeners, let us know, like, of course there's other categories we could have here. If you can think of some that we're
it'd be funny if we wanted to take
round it out for us.
Yeah. It'd be funny if we took a strong stance of like there's five types of people. These are the five.
It's like we're not taking notes on this one. We'll take notes. We'll take other suggestions. So she could be in there, but for based on what we have, regular guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Producer Marjorie, take us away.
Big Bill.
Leah.
I'm just whispering.
Baby girl. The baby girl. Remember when he got his knee stuck? That's a little
All
girl.
You have to do is get your knee stuck one time and you're in
and
the
then
category.
Have, and then have wet whale tail. And, I mean,
and you know that comedy is a core value for me.
I know it is.
We should have included pathetic man.
Oh my God, that's what
that's
it is.
Foolish of us.
Oh my God, he's wet. He's a wet pathetic man.
Wet pathetic.
Oh, he's a wet pathetic man. That's what he is.
Oh, we knew
there's
that.
Six types of people.
It's so foolish of us not to have remembered our favorite category, pathetic man. Well,
I love
that
you, Big
is
Bill.
What he is.
Yeah.
That is what he is. He's very wet.
Couldn't be wetter.
We'll take another.
Bryce Remsburg.
That's a pajama boy. That's a pajama
that's
boy.
That's our first pajama boy.
Night. That's like the entry in the dictionary next to pajama boy.
Yeah. That's the one that like nobody would argue about.
The platonic ideal of pajama boy.
Should we Photoshop Bryce's face on
into that into that actual picture? Yeah.
People and I feel need to see that actual picture of the original pajama boy.
Oh yeah,
it
did
is
we not? We
so
should,
funny.
We
I don't think
tweet
we did
that or something. We'll put Bryce's face on it and tweet it.
It's like of course the conservatives weren't right to to make fun of the Obama administration, but in a way they were for
it,
that.
They weren't right to do it, but the administration should have seen it coming. In that instance. In that instance.
They deserve to be bullied for that little
because
tweet.
The man was so small in those
pictures. What was so funny
was
about
hot
it?
Cocoa and saying we should talk about healthcare.
What was so funny about it is that, like, it read like Slate making fun of it, but, like, they were serious. Like, they thought that was, like, a genuine insult, but, like, it read like it was something we'd say about ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. What can you say? You know?
I mean.
So funny.
The Obama administration. It was a different time. It feels like I mean, a century ago.
I can't say I don't miss it. I'm kind of a couple of years.
The problems we had were different.
They were really different.
Sure were. Yeah.
Remember when Mitt Romney put a dog on the car?
Literally, not until this moment I didn't, but yeah.
Remember
he shouldn't have done
his
that,
binders
though.
Full of women. Yeah.
Binders full of women, still so funny. Nobody liked when I was, well, no. Okay. We got to take another name.
Next up, MJF.
Oh, that's a rat boy.
Rat boy. Ultimate
that's
rat
a rat
boy.
Boy.
Nothing else to say.
But on the inside, maybe a pajama boy.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I would have said more like he's a little rat boy with like baby girl rising, but like I don't think he's a pajama boy.
It's like if when he, you have to think about like little rat boy, what would he be if he face turned? Not a pajama boy. Too small and sensitive. Too sweet.
No, I'm just thinking of pictures of him with this cat, I guess, more than anything.
Oh, he's sweet with this cat, but that's still, I think it's still probably more baby girl for me than pajama boy. Because pajama boy implies a certain well boy sensitivity.
That's true. Well boy is another great category. I mean, it overlaps too much with pajama boy.
I think that if somebody, maybe, well, which is Christianity and which is Catholicism? One holds the other in its powerful hand.
Oh, I think it's pajama boy. Pajama boy is Christianity and well boy is Catholicism.
Under the
well, boys,
yeah.
A little
yeah.
more specific.
Than it's more specific.
Boy. I think that's right. Mm. Okay,
we're gonna. Okay, I think we gotta make a list of things that we have to tweet because it's got to be Bryce's picture, and we gotta like link that like SNL sketch because I don't think well boy is like a.
No, I don't think
it's common terminology.
We do say it all the time.
That troubles me because I would have said like everybody knows what a well boy is, but yeah, you're right. Maybe that is Brian Cage's mouth. Well boy, I mean the language is specific and.
People are going to love this well boy sketch, though. It's a
it's
classic
so funny.
Sketch.
It's so
when
funny.
People have to do
it,
research to do, get our jokes, that's what it is.
Yeah. Watch this little video.
It's educational content, okay? It's a PBS podcast. Once you watch the well boy sketch, like, you're never not going to think about what a well boy is. And it's so important. It's important. Yeah.
Remember when we diagnosed Marjorie's son as a well boy?
He is a well boy. My nephew is also a well boy. Yeah. It's a beautiful kind of boy.
It's a beautiful kind of boy.
Did we say well boy is more specific than pajama boy is what we
yes.
said, right?
Well boy falls under the umbrella of pajama boy, I think. Mm. So sweet. Because a pajama boy can be a little, I think a pajama boy can be really soft, but also a little like you'd make fun of him for it. But I wouldn't make fun of a well boy. I'd just be like, that is just how he cries. He's sensitive. It's not his fault. He's just a sweet boy. Sensitivity comes naturally to him. But a pajama boy, I'd be like, yeah, of course he's so sweet, but it's a little funny, you know?
He can take it.
He can take it, yeah. Should we take another?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta. We're having fun.
Don Callis.
Rat King.
He's the Rat King. But like, old Rat King.
Yeah, old Rat King for sure, yeah.
Okay, no, I'm not saying no, but I want you to speak to me about how you perceive Don Callis in terms of fuckability. And again,
did you see him as a centaur?
Centaur? Yeah.
He wasn't a centaur. He was riding Takeshita, who was the god.
Okay, difference. Age gap.
Don Callis is problematic.
You're right, but that's what makes him kind of fuckable.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And because comedy is a core value is the other reason that he's fucking.
It is true. It is true. Okay,
I think he should get in bed.
Okay, fuckable Rat King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that we've now hit a point where, like, this is his
secondary
sign.
We're we're innovating. We're playing in the space. We're saying like there's not always a clear, like people are their own thing. And we have to find the specific words that speak to each specific person. And we're willing to do the work.
And anyway, Jade's a regular guy. So.
Well, we couldn't figure it out.
We couldn't figure it out. Think,
like, no, is there something that's just like,
she just doesn't give us anything. It's just like,
I know.
She might as well be warm.
I wish there was a word for like,
oh my God,
a mean himbo, but like, it's not bully, but like, but there's like she's like a gym bro.
A mean himbo.
I think that like,
that's just a jock, right?
It's like, unfortunately, when we were talking about Jade, I did think, well, I guess she's just that bitch.
Yeah.
I guess she is just that bitch.
That's true.
And it's not that I like that, but she's really drilled it into my head. But I agree. It's like, you have to show us like your little Achilles heel, like your thing, how you got to like the, you know, like Don Callis just looks so undignified sometimes. Scrattling around. But then it's like, he's a powerful rat king. He's always playing his Machiavellian games. Like he's pitting his boys against each other, but then sometimes so undignified. And it's like, that's so important. Same with MJF. Yeah. Like MJF can get goaded. Like MJF looks really undignified sometimes. When you have that, you really start to feel like, I know this person.
It's honestly shocking to me. No, it's shocking to me, like, when wrestlers don't want to look undignified, and I'm thinking specifically of, like, Dax, FTR, but it's like, there's many of them who are, like, not willing to look stupid, but wrestling is very stupid, so they've chosen the wrong field, you know?
I know. Like, it is, in fairness, I do think it's, like, there's more stuff around it for the women, and you do see that, like, undignified comedy so much less from the women, clearly, because it's, like, there's a lot more specific pressure on them to look hot, which is sucks. Because the to hottest be clear, thing you can be is funny. The hottest thing you can be is undignified and funny.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Should we do another?
Yeah.
Can we?
Yeah. Because we're having fun.
We have to have fun.
Julia Hart.
Oh. That's a baby girl. Except that, like,
little rat girl.
I think she's a little rat girl, yeah.
Yeah.
But she does have a baby girl rising, sort of.
Yeah. I could make a lot of arguments because, like, she, like, in real life, like, in her previous lives, she was kind of a pajama boy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I could when make, she was like, cheerleader, so many Julia arguments, Hart. Yeah. Yeah, do you remember that? Do you remember that video that I was obsessed with where she was just walking down the hallway and then fell into a trash can?
Oh, yeah. She's really funny, actually. I wish she's doing great work. Every time I see her, she's, like, done something new with her parents that's hilarious. And
I think right now she's a little rat boy, but she's hiding a baby girl interior.
Yeah. I think she has the capacity for all of these categories, to be honest.
I can't wait to see her enter her fuckable old man era.
Yeah, not regular guy, obviously. But yeah, she'd be a fuckable old man for sure.
Oh, can't wait to see it. Well, yeah. I mean, like, because she is giving, we've said it before, that kind of, like, Stevie Nicks. But, like, Stevie Nicks when she's hosting her pool parties that men aren't allowed to come to. Like, lesbian separatist Stevie Nicks. Yeah. Little rat boy.
Yeah.
Love it. Should we do one more?
We're having so much fun. We need this. We need this.
We could do two more. We could do three more. We could do four more.
See where the night takes us.
Let's
try one more and then see how we feel after the one. Okay. We can do two more.
One. Okay. Or two. Yeah.
Eddie Kingston.
So this is what the whole game spun off from, because Tumblr user More Graceful asked us what we would cast Eddie Kingston. And I haven't answered the ask yet because I don't actually know. Like, he almost
hits
is
a
too
lot of
big.
Fuckable old baby girl.
Yeah.
But like, fuckable old frat girl.
Rat baby. Yeah.
A little bit of everything. Yeah.
I know. Everything. His personality is so big that it encompasses all of it.
I forgot I was making this fan cam. I got to send you guys something later. Okay. Yeah.
No, it's true. It's like there's so much of Eddie Kingston. You can't say he's only a baby girl. Like,
no,
he's just a
rainbow of everything.
He's just Eddie Kingston. He's just perfect.
He's so good.
He is. It's like you hold him in your hands. And you look at him, and he's screaming at you. He is yelling and shaking his teeny little fist at you. And you want to kiss him, and so you do kiss him because he can take it. You kiss him right on his little head, and he hits you. He hits you on your mouth. He punches you on your mouth, and you say, I'm so sorry that I kissed you, but you're not really that sorry. And then he just sits down on your thumb, and he says, can we get something to eat?
You know? I think straight men in wrestling, they don't understand that Eddie Kingston is the hottest man on the roster.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely.
I know.
I mean, just take me to town, you know?
Yeah, right.
I think we've said this on this podcast before, but the fact that our friend Caroline said something unclear, like, I think it was like a week into us getting into wrestling. So she soon, said something unclear that made it sound like she was saying that Eddie Kingston was her husband, and she didn't. She didn't mean that, but the second we said it, she was like, he's not. And then, like, all of a sudden, we were like, he is kind of all of our husbands.
Yeah, but now we do some, it's like, it's Caroline's husband.
It's Caroline's husband,
Mm-hmm. That we get to share, Love you, Eddie. Yeah. Well, maybe we should end there. I mean, that's a really good one to end
that's
on.
That's a really good
it
one.
It's a really good one to end on. I accept it. We can't play our game anymore, but we'll play a game, this game or a game like it again. Yeah. We are always taking notes from our listeners. If you disagree with us, or if you're like, you stupid idiots, of course Jade Cargill is X, you come tell us. And
but be nice about it. We got yelled at by an Anon, and I didn't like that.
You got yelled at? Okay. Well, don't yell at us. Don't yell at us. Come at us with love.
Yeah.
Because we are pajama boys.
That Anon did come back on Tumblr to be like, oh, I just meant to tell you about Kenny's kisses, but
it's hard to, you know,
it's hard. Tone is hard on the internet.
Sorry, on the internet.
Now I feel bad for calling you out.
No,
sometimes we're a little sensitive, and you need to treat us gently.
We get a little stressed because we're in there with the IWC, but we love our listeners and we love you even if we misinterpret your tone. And come tell us that we're wrong, but tell us nice and be nice to us, and we love you. Is that good?
We love you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We're well, girl.
So another amazing week in wrestling is over. And we'll be back next week, I guess. I'm Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I'm Leah.
It's Tunnel Dog Baby. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com, on Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe if you want to, wherever you want to. And also, we have to plan when we're going to do our next 5-star review podcast roundup, where we watch the stuff that you guys sent us in payment. I don't think we should say payment. In I don't know, for 5-star review. If you leave us a 5-star review, we'll watch something or read something or whatever if you send it to us. And we're going to do another episode of those soon. Is that good? That sounds normal. Yeah. So anyway, and then come back next week. The end. Nailed it. Some of my worst work.